Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Juwanza for Life. So happy, so very, very pleased that you took time out of your schedule to tune in again. We have another special guest and another special show lined up for you today. And again, I hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful day. And thank you for spending the next hour or so with us. My special guest again this week is Dr. Akmal Muakil. That's right. He's back. You all remember him. We spoke to him last month. We did a powerful show on what is chi, understanding the life force. And for those who are listening, if you missed it, we do have an archives. You can actually go back and listen to that show in the archives, and you'll be glad that you did. Dr. Akmal Muakil is the president and founder of the Energy Institute of the Healing Arts Foundation. That's a 14-year 501(c)(3) nonprofit holistic care educational organization. He also developed the Healing Arts Acupuncture Wellness Studio. Dr. Muakil has been involved in complementary alternative healthcare functional medicine since 1974. He has a BS, a MS, and a PhD in nutrition from the American Holistic College of Nutrition, and he's an herbalist as well. He studied Asian medicine, acupuncture, Tai Chi, herbology with Dr. Yang Qing, and Master Haig Robinson in the 1970s, and he's a diplomat of acupuncture at the College of Acupuncture and Therapeutics. He studied massage therapy at the Potomac Massage Training Institute and Asian bodywork at the International School of Shiatsu and completed apprenticeship training in Tuina, traditional Chinese medical bodywork with Dr. Yao Yan, I can't pronounce his last name, Qian, I think that's what it is. Okay. And that was in China at the training center of the China Academy of Traditional Chinese Medicine and ear acupuncture at AWHA, and is a licensed acupuncturist. Nationally certified acupuncture detoxification specialist, Dr. Muakil is also a licensed massage therapist and a healthy lifestyle coach. Dr. Muakil was the nutritional consultant to the Prince George's County Head Start Program, collaborating with the Children's Health Medical Center on juvenile obesity. He's worked as a life skills coach at Safe Harbor House for Boys, the Washington Senior Wellness Centers, and RAP Incorporated on HIV and AIDS. His presentations include A Touch of Life for Health and Wellness Program, Sweet Mysteries of Life, A Protocol for the Nutritional Deficiencies Associated with Diabetes, and Life on the Yellow Brick Road at the American Public Association Conferences. He's authored The Prevention and Healing of Female Imbalance, Cleansing Within the Seasons Through the Art of Fasting, Life on the Yellow Brick Road, which is a holistic comprehensive on tobacco and substance abuse, and Sweet Mysteries of Life on Diabetes. He's also published several health articles nationally and internationally. Well, brothers and sisters, if you don't know by now, you're talking to him. You're going to get to sit at the feet of an expert today. He's done so much, and we are very, very honored and fortunate to have a brother with all of these credentials to be a guest on Juwanza for Life. Dr. Akmal Muakil, welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Well, good evening, Juwanza, and good evening to your audience. This evening, you know, we're going to talk about something that has really, you know, we don't realize it, but, you know, really about 20 million people in this country find themselves having this particular ailment. And it doesn't matter what age or what social or economic group you belong to or none of that. It doesn't matter any of that, that you are susceptible to thyroid problems. Thyroid is basically the crack in the endocrine system, you know. I mean, and so we find a lot of people with this, you know, and I see a lot of people in my practice who have thyroid problems. Well, you know, when you start talking about thyroid problems, you know, you have to begin to look at a system, okay? And the body, you know, last time I talked about energy and its relationship to chemistry. Mm-hmm. And the body is about both the energy and the chemistry that allows for the body to function and be healthy. If the chemistry and the energy are off, then the body is going to suffer from deficiencies. The deficiencies that it suffers from, we wind up calling them diseases. However, if you begin to put the right types of chemistry back into the body, one of the things that will happen is that the body will begin to respond and the body will become healthy once again. The same goes true for people who have thyroid problems. Thyroid is part of what is known as a system, as I just said, which is called the endocrine system. Okay.
Okay.
The endocrine system is made up of a series of different glands, and I'll talk about a few of them in a minute. But it's made up of a body of glands that's interacting with each other through a system that is basically ductless, because they're called the ductless gland system, that stimulate the nervous system, the hormones, the blood, and as they regulate the functions of the body and the organs, they help to maintain what is known as homeostasis, okay, and cellular regeneration, reproduction, sexual development, your ability to crave sugar or mineral deficiencies or anything that has to do with your body being either in balance or out of balance. It has to do with your heart rate, your digestion. Matter of fact, people who wind up having hypothyroid wind up having find themselves gaining weight. Well, basically, you're not gaining weight. You're gaining waste because now the hormones needed, and the pancreas is one of them hormones, which has to do with stimulating the body so that it can break down the sugar in the blood. And people who have diabetes understand exactly what I'm saying in regards to that glucose in the blood. So when we start talking about them hormones, which are chemicals that send messages, okay, into the body and into the organs and the tissues to allow them to function in a manner that will allow for the body to maintain life, okay? When you don't have those particular hormones or when those hormones go awry, then what happens is all kinds of things happen. Anything from you know, development, growth. You know, you have people who for instance, people who are little people who are seniors or older people, not children, but older people, but they're little people, you know, they have hormonal gland problems because their body doesn't grow and doesn't develop. For instance, if you know, you have people who have who can have bone problems. You know, we look at vitamin D, but we also have to look at the hormones that regulate the absorption of vitamin D in order for it to get into the body, so that the body in a young child doesn't have rickets, which means that their bones are not stable. Or a woman who goes through menopause and she winds up having osteoporosis because of hormones, because of the glands not functioning in the manner that they need to be functioning. So when we start looking at that, we start looking at a lot of different things. You have a lot of people who are having reproductive and sexual problems. A lot of that has to do with hormones. You know, it has to do with this secreting of these hormones that don't allow for or not enough for the reproductive system to be able to do what it does. For instance, you know, when women go through PMS. Okay, they go through PMS because from a nutritional perspective, they go through PMS because of estrogen and other hormones that have to do with their reproductive system. So if those hormones are not functioning properly, then what happens is now they wind up finding themselves in a place where they can be irritable, they can be mood swings, you know, they can cry at the drop of a hat, those kinds of things, because the hormones are not functioning in the way that they should. Even the brain function has to deal with hormones. You know, I mean, and so now we're talking about the pituitary gland, we're talking about the hypothalamus, we're talking about the thalamus. These are glands that are actually in the brain or on the brainstem that have to do with our functioning of our cognitive level of being. Okay. So those are things that we're looking at. The temperature. You know, I mean, women who are of childbearing age and who live naturally, because we have a lot of women that live naturally, and they work through what is called the rhythm method, which means that every morning they take their temperature under their arm. Well, if you have thyroid problem, that's the place where you take it so that you can see what the basal temperature is, because that talks about the regulation of the thyroid. Okay. And so that tells you how your hormones are on or off. I mean, if you sweat profusely, you know, you need to look at that person needs to look at the factor that they may have a problem with their hormones. Okay. And that hormone could be something that's really causing them to have issues that could cause them with cardiovascular disease, because hormones regulate the cardiovascular system. So when we start talking about that, we really start talking about the fact that all of these things are going on within one's body from birth to death. And they're regulating how well we function here on Earth, whether it's mentally, whether it's physically, or whether it's spiritually. You know, and later I'll talk about the interaction of you know, the spiritual piece. You know, but when you start looking at it, you got to look at the fact that it's all about chemistry and the energy that chemistry puts out, and how that chemistry puts that energy, and where that chemistry puts that energy, and is that energy balanced, deficient, or is it in an excessive mode? Because you have people who have hypothyroid or hypothyroid. In other words, they have an overactive thyroid or they have an underactive thyroid. And so when you start looking at that, you have to look at the factor of what's going on. I mean, what kinds of nutrients are you taking? Are you taking nutrients? If you're not taking nutrients, then, you know, what are you doing? What kinds of foods are you eating? So when you start looking at that, you know, the gland system, which I talked about, the hypothalamus, you got the pituitary gland, you got the pineal gland, you got the thymus, you got the thyroid, you got the adrenals. I talked about the pancreas earlier, you got the testes, and then you have the ovaries. All of those are glands that are part of the endocrine system. All of those are being fed through the hypothalamus, and some of them are being fed through the pituitary gland, which has to do a lot with how we deal with our sex organs, our sexual relationship, how we get aroused, how we don't get aroused, how women lactate so that they can provide breast milk for their children. I mean, so all of that has to do with the factor of these glands, and specifically the pituitary gland. When we start talking about, you know, homeostasis, and I want to talk about that for a minute, because people need to have an understanding of homeostasis. Homeostasis is basically a Greek word, which means same or steady, which then talks about, you know, it beginning to steady the ability for life to be stable and survive. Okay. That's what hormones do. They make sure that we are stable and we survive. You have people who are taking psychotropic drugs that what needs to happen to some of them is they need to see an endocrinologist, who is a doctor that deals with the endocrine system, because some of what's going on in their head has to do with imbalance of their hormones. Okay. I mean, growing up, when women went through the change, as the seniors used to call it, the change of life, or they had PMS, you know, they used to say, well, these women were crazy. Yeah. Now today in 2014, you know, they're looking at it differently, you know, and they've figured out that, you know, these are hormonal types of imbalances that's going on, opposed to imbalances of them just not being sane.
Right.
You know, and so when we start looking at that, you know, we gotta go and we gotta look at the fact that when the body is stable, then if the body is stable, it's real interesting, because if the body's stable, the body has enough water, it has enough of the minerals, the vitamins, the sugars it needs, the fats, the calcium, the oxygen, it has all of that in proportion to what it's supposed to do. When it's not, and when there is a piece where the hormones are out of balance, it doesn't have all of that. And so then the next thing you find is you find that, you know, you got issues, okay? And some of those issues wind up where, you know, you're not able to do or function in the manner that you should. For instance, you know, you have people who have anxiety attacks. Yeah. Some of those anxiety attacks are because of an imbalance in their emotions, but an imbalance in their emotions because of the fact is that their thyroid may be off. It may be because of they have a problem with the adrenals or adrenaline, which is a hormone. And so when you start looking at it in that manner, what you're looking at is you're looking at the fact of how do we balance that? Why is that out of order?
Huh. Well, yeah. Let me ask this, doctor, because you might take a child that's born completely healthy. The doctor, you know, checks them out. They get their physical, you know, they go home healthy, okay? Now, something has to transpire along the way between birth and at which point they develop these thyroid imbalances. What would you say are some of the things that that bring these on, that bring these imbalances on? And what are some of the signs? You mentioned some, profuse sweating, you know, anxiety attacks and so forth. But what actually happens to cause it? Because there has to be a root cause of the thyroid imbalance. Can you talk about that?
Well, I mean, from a Western medical perspective, they're not sure. Okay. They're really not sure why the thyroid would go haywire. You know, from a Chinese perspective, it could be several different things. Okay. It could be anywhere, you know, from dampness, damp heat. The spleen being weak, the spleen in the kidney, the yang part of or the active part of it, or the can be weak, you know. So in Chinese medicine, they have a different look at it as to what could cause it. I mean, for instance, liver. You know, the liver could cause it. We have to look at the fact that the liver synthesizes everything that the body does, you know, including its ability to function with certain hormones. I mean, estrogen is one of the hormones that the liver functions with. So, you know, they're really not sure from a Western medical perspective as to really what causes the thyroid to go haywire. They know that it does. You know, when you start looking at it, it could be the factor of food. From my perspective, it could be it's amino acids, you know. Tyrosine is one of the amino acids that could cause it to go haywire. You know, a lot of us have problems with adrenals. We don't look at it in that manner, but we do because of the stress that we under, those kinds of things. So now you're talking about B vitamins, okay? So now with the B vitamins, you know, you're not getting B vitamins, so the adrenals is not functioning in the manner that they're supposed to, but they're in relationship with the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus and the whole endocrine system. So now what happens is that with that, what you begin to see is you begin to see the breakdown. And that breakdown doesn't necessarily always come from the adrenals. What it comes from is a lot of times it could come from the factor that the adrenals are now attacking the hypothalamus or the thalamus or the pituitary gland. And in its ability to do that, what it does now is it's now reducing the ability for the hormones to function. So now your body is having a thyroid issue. Or in some cases, you know, it may be hyper. So now it's causing the thyroid to become hyper.
So now when it comes to the thyroid imbalances, do you find that more in one gender over the other? Is it more prominent in women or... because, you know, you mentioned the PMS, you mentioned the menopause. Is it something that tends to show up more in women than men, or it just shows up in men in other ways?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you're talking about with women, you know, you're talking about something like 5 to 8 times are more likely, women are more likely to have a thyroid problem than men. And, you know, the stats say that it's estimated that 1 in every 8 women will develop thyroid disease within her life. So, you know, when you start looking at it in that manner, you know, you're looking at the fact that women are more susceptible to that, you know. Mm-hmm. That's like I work with women, with people, but mostly women who have multiple sclerosis. And by assisting them in balancing their thyroid and providing them with things like the omega 3, 6, and 9, we've been able to see that the multiple sclerosis has changed for the better. Okay, I mean, and I'm talking about people who, one lady, she was on a walker, mm-hmm. and now she doesn't use a cane or a walker. Okay.
All right. All right.
But by being able to tap into the system that will help to bring that about, which is, again, is a nutritional deficiency. I teach this. This is a 3-week course that I teach people, okay, over the internet, how to balance their thyroid. I have herbs that I have for people, and then I give them certain nutrients dealing with their thyroid, okay, so that what happens is that they're able to rebalance the thyroid and keep on moving. I mean, there are certain foods that people who have thyroid shouldn't eat. There are certain foods that people should eat. There are certain minerals and vitamins, you know, that they should take, like I said, tyrosine, vitamin D. But if you take D, you got to take calcium and magnesium and vitamin C. You got to take all of those together so that they work. If you take tyrosine, you got to take certain amino acids so that the tyrosine gets into the body, which the tyrosine now is going to help with the manufacture and the balance of tryptophan. And you find people who have thyroid problems, you have some of them, and especially hyperthyroid, they have a problem sleeping. So now you want to have them to sleep, and so now you're talking about the fact of the tryptophan dealing with the melatonin so that the body can shut down and people can go to sleep. Okay. So when you start looking at the thyroid, you're really looking at how do you balance, you know, the hormones, and why. You know, do you balance the hormones, or why do you look at what's happening with that? You know, I mean, for instance, when you have hypothyroid, you know, I talked earlier about weight gain. You're talking about weight gain. You're talking about fatigue. You're talking about, you know, constipation. A lot of people don't realize that the fact of that, and there's that connection again to the liver. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the fact of that, when you have a thyroid problem, and the stats also say that 60% of the people with the disease don't know that they have it. It's like mm-hmm. most imbalances. Most of the time you don't know you have it until you wind up and boom, there it is on your blood report. But when we start looking at the fact of constipation, well, constipation is directly derived from the digestive tract, okay, which means that the liver has to secrete bile in order for the small intestines to be able to get peristalsis moving so that it moves that waste into the large intestines, which then moves that waste out of the body. So when you start talking about constipation, you know, what you're really talking about is the body being able to not release that waste. And so hormones can stimulate that whole piece. It's like when you put in too much vitamin C, what vitamin C becomes active in the body that now can activate several different things. It can begin to activate the factor of the adrenals, which then begins to work with the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus, which now could cause your bowels to move. See? So when we start looking at the nutrients, you know, you gotta understand that, you know, we're talking about nutritional deficiency here. We're not talking about the fact that it's a piece where, you know, your bowel's just not moving. We're talking about nutritional deficiency that's causing that. You know, a lot of folks dealing with iodine, you know, and that's what most Western society deals with is the fact that there's a iodine deficiency. But, you know, when you put an iodine in that manner, you need to have in things like manganese, magnesium, calcium, because all of those help that to get into the system. When that's not able to do that, then what happens is the body will then begin to not function. And so what you have for absorption won't be absorbed. And so then what you're going to find is you're going to find that the body is off. That's what you're going to find. You're going to find that the body is off. And what you have to take and look at is you have to be able to look at the fact that how do we get the body back on. But you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, first of all, because we have all of these, you know, thyroid imbalances manifesting as different, you know, different things, obesity, you know, anxiety, you know, all the different things that you mentioned. Is any of it hereditary? You know, there are a lot of times people say that, you know, they have a particular thing because it runs in their family. They may have a history. People have families that say, oh, I have a history of cancer in my family, or I have a history of diabetes in my family. Do you find that people come to you with a history of thyroid imbalances? Is that something that could be hereditary? Could a child be more or predisposed to that type of condition?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen that because, you know, I mean, I've treated people and only one person in the family has had the thyroid issue where nobody else has had it. You know, that it's not like a person who comes in and they're overweight or overweight, and you know, you have six generations of people who are in their family who are overweight, or people who have heart disease. You know, you have their whole lineage has heart disease or diabetes. So it's not the same. You know, thyroid problems are individual. You know.
Okay.
And you know, as I said when I opened, that you know, it doesn't have any known race or creed. You know, it doesn't have none of that. It has it develops within that person in a manner where something goes wrong with their body nutritionally that's deficient that allows for their body not to get the hormones that they need in order for the body to function in the manner that it functions. So what happens is that now the body is in a space where it's just not doing what it needs to do to maintain the balance of life in the manner that it should.
So then what would you say then, because you mentioned that it's an individual thing and that you've come and seen people that they may be the only one in their family with it, but let's say you have a family of, you know, five or six kids, you know what I'm saying, and one has the imbalance, but they were all eating the same food. You know, they all sat at the same table, they all ate the same food, you know, and one or two, let's say, has it, and the other three or four don't. You know, then what would be your take on it? I guess what approach would you use to address a situation like that if it appears that if based on the diet that they were eating, you know, if that played the role in that individual's imbalance, then it would seem that everybody else would suffer from the same thing. But then again, I assume you have to take into consideration that everybody's metabolism is different.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be the first thing, that everybody else's metabolism is different. The other piece of that is the fact that everybody handles stress differently. And stress could be a major factor of the reduction in hormones. Okay? So, you know, you're really talking about the factor of what's going on with that individual. For instance, there's been studies done with the gut flora. So if there's not enough lactobacillia and bifidus in the gut, then it could cause the hormones to become unbalanced, which now you're talking about the fact that the gut has to deal with fats and sugar. Well, you know, when you start also looking at the nervous system, the nervous system is dealing with fats. Sugar has to deal with the blood, and it's also part of what will happen, you know, in terms of getting the functioning of the hormones, because the hormones interact with the blood, and the blood is I want to say sodium, but it's not sodium. The blood is glucose, and so because of that, what you're looking at now is you're looking at the fact that the hormonal relationship of the gut and the stimulation of the rest of the body is not in balance. So when we start looking at the fact that you might have two people out of six in the family that have it, that does not mean that it was hereditary from somewhere else. It just means that, you know, they had it because of the circumstances. Now, let me switch gears and talk about it from a Chinese perspective. So that would mean that, let's say that the last two children got it, that could mean several different things. One of the things that it could mean is that the children got it because of the fact that their mother had too many children close together, so it wore her kidneys out. So then they came up with the fact that the hormones imbalances was because of the kidneys. And so because the kidneys were in balance, the kidneys took the spleen with them. So what you would see is that those two children, wound up having a kidney and a spleen, what we call yang vacuity, which means that the yang of the children, which of the spleen, which has to do with the action and the movement and the breaking down of things, is not functioning, which is the heat part of it. So now you wind up having a kidney, a imbalance where you'd start to swell. Well, that swelling now is what we would call you being overweight. So when you balance the spleen and the kidney, what would happen is that then you would see, and the kidney yang, kidney and spleen yang particularly, then you would see that go away. But the inheritance of that has to do with the fact that the mother's kidneys during birth was not strong enough to give that child all of the essence that it needed in order for that child to be strong. So that could have been that she didn't give him the essence from birth, and then she didn't breastfeed him. Or she didn't have the essence because she had them too close together, and she breastfeed them, but she still didn't have enough energy to fulfill what they needed, so that could be a reason why. So when you start looking at it, you know, you got to look at several different reasons as to why that is happening. And from a Chinese perspective, it's broken down at least five or six different ways that you would treat it because of the symptoms that's going on that then begins to work To tell you exactly what it is. I mean, for instance, what I just named, you know, you would be talking about a person being dizzy and they have tinnitus, which tinnitus is ringing in the ears, and that ringing in the ears would be ringing in the ears that sounds like water, not like a hollow sound. Then you could be talking about sexual desires or impotence. You know, we look at impotence as a piece, and especially in men, women as well with the infertility, we look at it as you know, something that's a disease. Well, when you have ED, that's not a disease. That means that your hormones are off, and we've understood that because now they got, I think it's the little purple pill that they give you to help your body to work in a manner for sexual desire. Well, you know, the reality of that is that if you did certain things to increase the hormonal level and create that balance, or you had them look at your thyroid, what you might find is you might find exactly what it is that you need to be able to work so that you can have that sexual desire. So, you know, in answering your question, you know, there's many reasons why people have it, and it's not necessarily hereditary.
You know, Doctor, it's amazing, brother. As I'm listening to you, you're speaking so much truth. I remember this was probably about 30 years ago. I knew a lady who was overweight. She was what they would consider obese, and they actually. I believe, if I remember correctly, they diagnosed it as having some sort of thyroid problem. And the way they treated it, they actually wired her mouth shut, you know,
wow.
I guess prohibit her from eating food. I guess she, you know, was sucking, I guess, whatever diet they had her on, some liquid thing or whatever. But it didn't really address, as I'm looking back and listening to you, that's not addressing the issue. I mean, wiring somebody's mouth shut is not addressing the thyroid issue. And had they looked at it from a Chinese perspective and looked at it and went into the, I guess, the yang or the deficiency in yang or the yin of the internal organs, the spleen, the liver, the kidneys or whatever, that would seem like a more, less invasive way of treating it.
Right. And you know, we live in a climate where medical science works with symptomology. They don't work to get to the basis of what's really going on. You know, they're looking at curing stuff opposed to the body healing. You know, God's thing is for the body to heal, not cure. The only thing that gets cured is ham. People don't cure. We heal. But in order for us to heal, we have to be able to have the right nutrients. It's all about nutrients. It's all about chemistry. It's all about energy. You know, and it's interesting because that's what they talk about now. They talk about energy, foods with energy, you know. But I don't think they really understand, you know, that energy behind it. You know, they talk about eating foods that have energy to them and that kind of thing, which is a mighty good thing. You know, don't get me wrong. That's a mighty good thing. But they don't understand the basis, the real basis of energy. You know, when you start talking about it, you know, for instance, they'll talk about the fact that, well, you know, you got an enzyme in the mouth that breaks it down, amylase, and then protease in the stomach, you know, but what they don't deal with is the fact that what causes all of that to happen? You know, what's the energy level? What does the energy level have to be like in order for the organs to accept what it needs in order for it to break it down? And so when you really start to to look at that and captivate that. You know, you're looking at the fact that we need specific nutrients that are going to work together. And in their working together, they create the balance that we need for the hormones, for the cells, for the tissues, for the bones to function, and the blood and the body fluid. If we find that we don't have that, then the body's going to be off. And that's the whole piece when you start talking about thyroid. So if you wire somebody's mouth shut to keep them from eating, you're doing harm to them opposed to helping them, because now their body's not getting the nutrients that it needs. And that, and to me, I mean, there might have been some science behind it, but to me, that doesn't say that that's how, you know, you would correct an issue that is a major issue like that.
Wow. All of the listeners, we got some listeners online. If you have a question for Dr. Moorkill, just press 1 and I will bring you on board. My special guest again today is, you're listening to Dr. Akmal Moorkill. Awesome, awesome interview, my brother. We've got about 15 minutes left. I really want to touch on, if we can, the spiritual aspect of this whole discussion when we're talking about the thyroid glands, the imbalance of the thyroid glands, the endocrine system. Could you talk about the spiritual aspect piece to this particular discussion?
Many years ago, I got into a book called The Ductless Gland System that was put out by the Rosicrucians. And the Rosicrucians, they talk more about the ductless gland system, and specifically the pineal gland and the pituitary gland, as glands that connect us to our spirit and connect us to heaven. And when you start to look at just those two glands and the marvelous work that they do, you know, you can't have a sexual experience without the interaction of the pituitary gland. Now, understand the fact that the pituitary gland has to do with life or death, which is about how spirit interacts in the form of the affairs of the bedroom. See, we're the only animals in God's kingdom that has sex. No other animal in God's kingdom has sex. They procreate. Because instinctively they understand that's a spiritual activity, not necessarily a physical. When you're dealing with that, the sounds that are made in the bedroom, which are groaning sounds, which is the sounds of the kidneys, which now allows for the spirit to interact with the spirit that is in the heavens, for a woman to conceive, because the two spirits have come together through the promotion of the hormones and the energy having to do with the pituitary gland.
Listen.
People don't understand why when they pray, they bow their head. When you bow your head to pray, you are directly in line with the heavens from the pituitary to the pineal gland. When you start to to energize the third eye, which the Chinese call yin tang, which is in between, on the brow, in between the eyes, you are directly affecting the pituitary and the pineal gland, which now will allow for you to be spiritually in contact with yourself. That's why a lot of times when people meditate, they focus on that place in between their eyebrows with their eyes closed, because that's a calming spot in the body that will allow for the body to go into the superconscious mind that has to do with spirit. When you start doing that, what you then begin to do is you begin to create a healing force that has to do with the endocrine system that now allows for the body to create its balance.
Wow. Brother, this is so powerful. So I'm going to just keep on this train of thought here. So if you could, you were talking about the bedroom. Let's stay there for a sec, because there are a lot of people out there and a lot of issues, unbeknownst to a lot of people, have their root in the bedroom. So if you take two toxic people, okay, you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Dealing with all kinds of emotional issues that could be caused by some thyroid disorders, you know, unhealed, coming together, exchanging energy, exchanging bodily fluids, you know. Could you talk about the effect of that, the detrimental effect of that, and the healing effect of two whole, healed, not cured, healed people coming together, and what could be the potential positive manifestation as a result of that, in addition to being able to create life, but just the heightened consciousness that can be achieved through such intimacy?
Okay. First, when you start to talk about toxic people, you have to talk about what people are carrying, how they've been carrying it, who they've been carrying, what they know about what they're carrying, what they don't know about who and what they're carrying. That gets into a whole different place. You know, my new book is Healing from Other People's Stuff. That gets into a whole different place that can either create toxicity, or it can create a blissness that moves you from that toxic environment into an environment that's peaceful and harmonious. When you have two toxic people come together, then everything that they deal with is toxic. So what happens is that if a woman does get pregnant during that particular person, those two persons together, what can happen, doesn't have to happen, but what can happen is that then the child begins to carry that as well. So the child grows up maybe with a nasty attitude. The child could grow up being lovely because of the fact that the child's energy has changed from its parents. But on the other hand, the child could grow up and be, you know, a terror because of the fact of what's going on in the home, what's going on with the two people. Yeah. When you have two people who are very positive and the energy is good and they're living well and they're doing well and they're harmonious, what happens doesn't have to happen. And they have affairs in the bedroom. They enjoy each other immensely. And it shows. And it shows in their children. And when issues happen not from a very heavy negative perspective, but from a perspective that is harmonious. So now these are the people that stay together forever. These are the people that don't call each other names or out their name. These are the people that understand each other because they've understood who they are and what their energy is about and how their glandular system helps them function. Even to the point where, you know, ladies understand that men know when your menstrual cycle has come. Because your attitude changes. And we know a week before it comes because of that. The hormones change. When women start to go through menopause, they change. When men go through menopause, we change. Because the hormones change. Because affairs of the bedroom change.
Reach.
And because they change, we change. When a woman's going through menopause, she becomes very dry. Her vagina becomes dry because the hormones are not secreting the body fluid she needs for that lubrication. When men go through it, we go through it with impotence so the sun don't rise in the morning like it did when we were young.
You have a way with words, Doc.
So what then happens is that now we become irritated. Not all of us, but some of us. Because you have a lot of men that's their life. See?
That's true. They define the whole manhood is defined around that piece right there.
No question. And if that ain't happening, ain't nothing happening. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why the pharmaceutical people made a little blue pill. My thing with that is that let's strengthen your kidneys. And the sun begins to rise every morning. For women, you know, let's strengthen your kidneys and create a balance. And you find that you don't have dryness. You find that you don't have the imbalances that most people, women, go through when men starts to pause. After I wrote the book, Prevention and Healing of a Female Debalance, you know, I did female health for specifically from a Chinese perspective for over 20 years. And, you know, when I wrote that book, I was in the beginning stages of that. And now it's graduated to where I do that program consistently. I'll be doing it either in August or in September in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. But when we start talking about that, we're talking strictly about hormones. Mother's lactating has to do with hormones from the pituitary gland. She doesn't lactate if the pituitary gland isn't functioning properly. Put that hormone back on balance. See.
Well, let me ask you this, Doctor. I know we have just a few minutes left. I actually had two more questions. One would be, because there's so many, you mentioned earlier that a lot of times people were misdiagnosed back in the day, that, you know, before they really understood about the thyroid gland and the endocrine system, and, you know, people were just considered crazy if, you know, their behavior suggested that, you know, something was off balance. They might not have known it was the pituitary gland, but they just knew that something wasn't just quite right, and people were actually labeled as crazy or
right.
out of their mind or whatever. If you could talk about that as, you know, just briefly as a manifestation of a thyroid issue, because, again, a lot of times you could have a couple, you know what I mean, where it could be the man even. It doesn't have to be the woman. It could be the man. He could be acting irrationally or, you know, his behavior suggests that, you know, something's not right. Or the woman could be something, you know, the brother could be thinking that something's just not quite right, you know, based on the manifestation of her emotions being such that, you know, aren't harmonious with peace. You know, you might take somebody going off all the time, you know, just, you know, always flying off the handle, can't seem to handle their emotions, you know. Please discuss that.
Well, you know, the thing about that is this, you know, when your hormones are out of balance, you're going to know it, okay? And you're going to know it because you're not going to feel well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in some cases you might be grumpy. In other cases you may be fatigued. That's one of the things of hypothyroid is that you're fatigued. Hyperthyroid is that you're anxious, nervous, you know, irritable. Your temper flies off. If you find yourself constantly having that issue and it just started to develop and come up and that kind of thing, then the thing that you have to do is go get your blood work. See where your thyroid hormones are. See where your hormones are. You know? Because once you understand and once you know you, okay, what happens is that then you're able to begin to create healing.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know you, then you never will be able to create the balance that helps you to heal. Yeah. So, you know, what I tell people is that's the first thing. Let's see what your blood work talks about, okay? Let's see what your hair analysis talk about or your urine specimen or your fecal matter talk about. What kind of minerals and vitamins and nutrients are you deficient in? Is your thyroid off? Is it your liver that's causing it? Because the liver can cause it, and the liver can cause it in such a way where you are agitated all the time. You know, you are in a space where, you know, you're negative all the time, which then creates other kind of psychological conditions. So the master plan would be to go to somebody, or you can call me, and I can do a virtual consultation for you. Go to somebody, get your blood work done, okay? Have them analyze the blood work, see where your hormone levels are. This is men or women.
Mm-hmm.
And then start working from there. Especially if it's just happened. Now, if you've been that way for all your life, now you got some other issues going on. You know, and it might not be just thyroid issues.
True.
Okay? But mm-hmm. But that's what I would say to people. Take care of yourself in that manner.
Well, Doctor, could you give your information? Because I'm sure that there are people out there that have heard this interview and they're like, I've got to get in contact with Dr. Muakil. He was talking to me this afternoon. So if you could please give your information where people can get in contact with you.
I can be reached by phone at 301-249-2445. That's 301-249-2445. You can email me at info@healenarts.net. That's info@healenarts.net. ENARTS.net.
And they can get your books by giving you a call. Doctor has written.
Yeah, they could get my books by giving me a call. My diabetes book, they can find that book on Amazon, and it's called Sweet Mysteries of Life, a handbook for naturally healing diabetes mellitus. My other book is Prevention and Healing of a Female Imbalance. Another book is Cleansing Within the Seasons Through the Art of Fasting. And the book I'm working on is called Healing from Other People's Stuff.
Wow. Now that, all of the books are awesome, but I'm sure a lot of people can't wait for that one to be finished. Healing from Other People's Stuff. I know the title is kind of self-explanatory, but can you give the listeners a taste of what that's going to be like? What journey you're going to take them on with that book?
The journey for that book is self-discovery. Okay? There's a workshop that I do that has to do that as well. But it's a journey of self-discovery, you know? Discovering who you are, and discovering who you're carrying, and determine how you're going to release whoever it is that you're carrying.
Whoa, doctor. In the last second, I got to squeeze this one in, brother, and I want to thank you for your patience and thank you for your time. Can you talk about forgiveness? Because you just said a very heavy piece there, talking about who you're carrying. And in order to, you know, get back to you, to be able to release the people that may have, or at least you thought may have, brought the pain and the drama, can you talk about forgiveness?
Forgiveness is interesting, and I'm laughing because, you know, I used to tell people things about forgiveness. For years, I would tell them that forgiveness is not about you forgiving you. And I happened to be watching Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail. Mm-hmm. And Madea said exactly what I had been saying, that she told a young girl who was angry at her father. She said, you can't forgive him for what he's done. She said, you have to take that energy and work on yourself. And that's the truth. You know, we have a lot of people who say, well, forgive that person for what they did. What you have to understand is that a couple of things. One, that person and you were on the same path, okay? Mm. And what happened to you with that person, and I know there's some things that are very not nice that people do. But what happened is that you and that person were on that path together. And that togetherness that you two were on the path was whatever happened was supposed to happen. From Eastern philosophy, they call that karma. Okay. Mm. Now, that person is going to get whatever it is that they're supposed to get for whatever it is that they did. Okay? No matter what you do to that person or how you think about that person, God has the last say.
Wow.
So when you start to work with forgiveness, you got to deal with you.
Mm.
You know, you can't deal with them because they're going to do what they're going to do anyways, no matter where you are, no matter how you are, no matter what you do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work on you because the journey is not about them. Your journey is about you. And if you don't understand your journey and you don't understand how to maintain your journey and you off into other people's journey, then you never heal.
Mm.
Yeah. Once you begin to understand what it is your journey is about and how and why these people come into your life, then you understand the lessons that are to be learned from your interaction with these people and what you're to teach them. Because this is a learning ground. That's what this is about.
Well.
And if you in a space where you angry with this person and angry with that person and you don't like this person and you hate that person, you carrying too many people. So when you talk about forgiveness, you got to talk to yourself.
Yeah. The doors of the church are open. Is there one? Is there one? My special guest has been Dr. Akmal Muakil, the good doctor. My brother, you have fed us. You have touched us, and I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to encourage all of the listeners to call Dr. Muakil. I'll ask him to give his number again. He's author of the fabulous book and books, Cleansing Within the Seasons Through the Art of Fasting, Life on the Yellow Brick Road, The Sweet Mysteries of Life, talking about diabetes. He's published several health articles nationally and internationally. I mean, brother just got back from Bermuda. I mean, headed towards Atlanta. I mean, he's gone and coming and going and coming. And in between, he's found time to be my special guest. And, brother, I'm humbled and honored. Could you give your telephone number and email address again for people? Because I know they want to reach you.
It's my phone number is 301-249-2445. It's 301-249-2445. My email address is info@healenarts, that's healenarts.net.
Final words, Doc, or?
Well, all I would say to people is this. Be true to yourself. And understand yourself. And when you do that, you'll heal. My motto is, the desire to heal begins with you loving you. Thank you, my brother. I'd like to thank your audience for allowing me to share their space this evening. May God continue to bless you and be well.
Ashe.
Ashe. And so it is. Thank you.
Peace and blessings, Doc. I will be in touch, my brother. I bow. Good night. That, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, was Dr. Akmal Muakil. Awesome, awesome interview. I encourage everybody to make sure that you call him. Or if you know somebody who's dealing with thyroid issues, who's dealing with issues related to the endocrine system, or just dealing with issues, call Dr. Muakil. And again, tell your friends about Jawanza for Life. If you enjoyed what you heard today, then tell somebody. We've got all kinds of shows. Okay, we've got shows. Again, Dr. Muakil is a regular on Jawanza for Life. He comes on once a month now. He did a fabulous show last month on what is chi, understanding the life force. And we've got shows on holistic health. Brother Coy Dunstan comes on once a month. Matter of fact, we're going to have him coming on every 2 weeks talking about holistic health. If you're into astrology and spirituality, we've got Swami Michael Perry and Swami Heidi Lindman. That's Swami Jyotirvakyananda and Swami Abhipandananda talking about Kriya Yoga astrology. We've got Professor Geiger who comes on once a month. If you're an entrepreneur or you know of an entrepreneur and you want to get information about that, then tune in once a month to hear Professor Geiger. We've got Orwa, Hehi, Meturai, and Comet of the Osara Set Society, Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region. He comes on once a month, and we're in the series talking about the 11 laws of God. So if you enjoyed what you heard, tell somebody. And until the next time, I love you. Peace.